feeling my great need of the Lord's most gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. We'll read verses 18 to 21 by way of a text. Matthew 12, verse 18. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I desire, as the Lord may be pleased to help, to speak really in perhaps three or four ways. Firstly, to consider this wonderful declaration of Almighty God, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, mine elect, in whom my soul is well pleased. The great love of God in the giving of his most well-beloved Son to this earth. And then to consider, perhaps, if helped, this great truth, behold my servant. Oh, the wonder of redeeming love, the great condescension of the blessed, eternal Son of God himself to this earth, to become the servant of the Lord for sinners' sakes. And then perhaps, if helped, to consider also something of, oh, this blessed servant, I shall not cry nor strive, shall not lift up his voice in the street. Why, he came not to condemn the world in his first coming. Nay, he came to save the world. He came to fulfil all righteousness. He came to redeem his people from under the law. And a bruised reed shall he not break. Oh, the meek and lowly Saviour, the blessed Redeemer, who ministers to his people from the fullness of his grace. And perhaps lastly, if helped, to consider, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Ah, you see, why is now set down this blessed Saviour at the right hand of God, and in his name shall poor sinners, Gentiles by nature, yea, the uncircumcision by nature, sinners by nature, called by the grace of God, to put their trust in Emmanuel at the right hand of power. Why, to put their trust in him? But you see, we must try to be orderly, if the Lord may help. But really, perhaps to consider these things, the wonderful thing is that in all our considerations, all you see, we can only but scratch the surface, because, you see, oh, there are eternal riches of grace and of glory in the beloved Son of God. Oh, the Word of the Father. Why? Yea, the Word of God. We read, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You see the eternal Son of God. Yet you see, full of grace and truth, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, you see, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Ah, God has spoken. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. Why, let there be light. But you see, who has spoken? Ah, why, we know that the Lord God, He created all things by Jesus Christ. That was the Word, even the Lord Jesus, which spake the world into the beginning. Why, is the head of all the creation is this beloved Saviour. Yea, the Lord Jesus being the Word of God. There is no word from the Lord to the earth. There is no counsel of the Lord to be found outside of the beloved person of Emmanuel. Why? For the very fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in us bodily, dwelleth in Him bodily. Yea, He is the foundation, the substance and the Son, and the very embodiment of all the immutable counsels of God toward the earth. Oh, sinner, if thou art looking to another, thou art eternally undone. Ah, there is no truth of God to be found outside of Jesus Christ. There's no truth to be found outside of God's beloved Son. Why, you see, He is the head of all things. He is the head of the whole creation. He is the Word of God that made all things. Yea, let there be light, and there was light. Ah, that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And we read in the Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to us in time past by the prophets and spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath made heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. That is every particle, you see, even the smallest speck of dust that could be seen or observed, was made by Jesus Christ. Everything in the whole universe belongeth to Him. Every element in our bodies was made. All the power that upholds them, that spake them into being, was the Redeemer's power, was the Word of God's power, was the Word that was made flesh's power, even the Word of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. You see, who is, by whom He made all things, who is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Yea, you see, no man has seen God at any time, said John Baptist. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Yea, the Lord said that no man can see My face and live. For our God is a consuming fire to wicked sinners. He is a devouring flame to transgressors. To lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He is of too pure eyes than to behold wicked iniquity that dwells in men and women's breasts and in children, sadly. Ah, but you see, there is a place by Him. Oh, and He said to Moses, thou shalt stand upon a rock, even the rock Christ Jesus, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And He placed Moses, that man of God, in the cleft of the rock. And he beheld the glory of the Lord. And the Lord passed by proclaimed his name before him, the name of the Lord, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. O abundant in mercy and truth, long-suffering, that can by no means, not any means, clear the guilty. Why? Because the blessed God, the righteous God, is a holy God. It is his very nature. His very nature is holy. And holiness is such a lovely, good, blessed, just, righteous thing, you know. It is. It's so pure. You see, he said, there's a place by me. And what do we read? This wonderful truth. We read concerning the Lord God Almighty that created all things. What do we read? God is love. So we may see these blessed, glorious, if you may call them, attributes of the Most High. Why? You know, God is love. God is holy. We may rightly say that holiness is a lovely thing, and love is a holy thing. It must be so. There is no disharmony in the blessed God that made all things, the self-sufficient, eternal Jehovah. But there's much disharmony in our hearts, is there not? Because of something. You only got three letters. But I tell you, those three letters have risen against the Blessed Trinity, called sin. But you see, the wonderful thing is, and you see, sin will be punished. He can by no means clear the guilty. Wonderful thing if my wretched, wicked, evil, horrible, vile, abominable, can you use this language, sinner? Hateful sins have been punished in the precious Saviour, the precious Redeemer, God's servant. You see, why we read hearing was the love of God manifested to us. We mentioned very briefly this morning concerning the love of God, how it flows to us through the abounding of God's wisdom towards us in the provision of a refuge for our souls. Why, the provision of himself to save our souls, to deliver us from sin and to raise us to an estate. You see, the Lord, they rejoice in heaven. We read, the angels of God rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Why? You see, this state, the glory to which a poor sinner is raised through redeeming love, through the precious Redeemer, through the glorious Saviour. Why, the state of glory to which they are raised is far more glorious than the first innocency of the first man, Adam, that just man while he's innocent. It's far more glorious than that. And you know, there is no man, there is none righteous now, no, not one. So it's a lie to consider yourself beyond repentance. Nay, he came not to call the righteous, for there is none righteous, no, not one. The blessed Saviour. Why, sinner, has this blessed Redeemer called thee? Then thou shalt praise him forever. He came not to call the righteous, you know, but sinners to repentance. Blessed truth. You know, if we know the truth, then we must begin to repent. Because we're sinners by nature, and sinners against God. Sin is an enemy to God. We must begin to repent of our sins if we're going to heaven, you know. For nothing that defileth can ever enter through those blessed holy gates into glory, into Emmanuel's land. Nothing that defileth, nothing that maketh a lie, that's deceitful, that's unjust, that's wicked. that's not truthful. Oh, that's unclean. Nothing shall ever enter in there. No, this is the land of the redeemed. Why, the blessed God has made a way for the ransom to pass over. Oh, he's made a way for them, as we considered very in a poor way this morning. He's made a way for the ransom to pass over. Why? He's gone before them. He's lifted up heaven's gates for them. Oh, now these gates can never be shut by day or night for the poor sinner that comes calling upon the name of the Lord. But you see, only repenting sinners can come this way. But you see, herein is the love of God manifested, made known, revealed to us. In this was the love of God manifested to us. What way, sinner? In a way that you need, sinner. Oh, believer. Why, what is it that which we believe in? We believe in a most wonderful truth. We hope we do anyway. Oh, we hope we're those who truly believe and cleave and desire to trust in the Lord. 'Tis no small thing. 'Tis no small mercy. It's the mercies of the living God. It's the tender mercies of the Most High, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Ah, if we begin to trust in the name of the Lord, the blessed arm of God. Why, who has believed our report? To him has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Ah, what is it, believer, that thou desirest to trust in? Why, it's none other but the love of God manifested towards us. In this was the love of God manifested to us. He gave his only begotten Son, his well-beloved Son, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God. Why, no? Oh, this is a solemn truth, is it not? But herein is the blessed love of God manifested towards us, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, you see, what was the voice from heaven that sounded when the beloved Saviour was here on earth? When he was baptised to fulfil all righteousness? Why, what did it sound? What was sounded forth? From heaven, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Behold, my servant. Oh, behold him, sinner. This is the love of God manifested towards the earth. These are the thoughts of peace and not of evil, which God hath eternally thought to poor sinners. This is the word of the gospel, the good tidings of Jesus Christ. What are they, sinner? Greater love hath no man than this, to man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, you see, why, what is it? Why, behold, indeed, ah, why, where can we go, whither flee, to escape, as said one, the vengeance due to us? Why, indeed, why, the judge standeth before the door. Ah, you see. Oh, when we come to that solemn hour and article of death. Why, what will then be most paramount, most uppermost in our mind then? Oh, what will it be? Will it be he? Oh, will it be that blessed Lord, that beloved Saviour, who died that we might live, who went before us? Oh, will it be he who died the just for the unjust? Will it be he who in his own body bare our sins on the tree? Oh, will we see him then? Behold, my servant. Oh, what will you do, sinner, in the day of your death if thou hast not seen the Lord, the one who has taken away the sting of death, the one who has died that sinners might live? Oh, what will you do in that day if you're not reconciled to Jesus Christ? I say, what will you do? You'll sink to rise no more. A great gulf is before thee, sinner, a gulf with no bottom. But you see, the word of God's grace is this. Oh, and it's a word that reaches poor sinners' hearts. Behold, look upon, come unto my servant sinner, in whom I am well pleased. He will magnify the law for thee, sinner. The Lord is well pleased for his righteous servant's sake, for the righteousness that he has brought. And so the blessed word of the gospel rings forth. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Look unto my beloved Son, all ye sinners at death's door, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. All ye at the ends of the earth, hearken unto me. Ah, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness, I bring near my righteousness, even my beloved Son. Oh, my salvation, I shall place it in Zion for Israel, for my people. They may look upon thee, oh, that they might live forevermore. Behold, my servant. Ah, but you see, the wonderful mercies of the Most High God in giving his beloved Son to poor needy sinners on the earth that we might live through him. And this is a promise that he has promised us, the first promise that rang out, oh, in the Garden of Eden, oh, that caused the globe still to rotate in its axis so that, oh, these sinners might be born to give God the glory. You see, what was it? This is a promise he has promised us, even eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You see, in him was life. That's in the word of God, made flesh and dwelling among us. And the life was the light of men. Oh, sinner, oh, dost thou know that he is a true light? You see, you canst not see the light, sinner. What an awful thing darkness is, I say. What an awful, dreadful, terrible thing darkness is. Ah, you see, wonderful thing it is to see the sun that now rules the temporal day. But you know, oh, sinner, that the wonderful light that we're given eyes with the gift of God to us, that we behold the sunlight, its warming beams, its cheering rays, it's not the true light. You know, if that's the only light that you see, you'll close your eyes in the darkness of death. Do solemnly warn. This is a great matter. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Why, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what shall it profit him? But you see, the true light has now come. Oh, you see, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But there's a blessed but here, sinner. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And who were they? Even to them that believe on his name. Ah, sinner, you see, there's nothing for thee to do. Thou canst not work the work of God thyself, but this is the work of God, that ye believe on him, the blessed light of the world, whom he has sent. For he that believeth in him, ah, you see, shall never die. Oh, but shall live forever. This is the true light, the eternal light. The light of this world is only temporal. Oh, it's only been given for time. It shall pass away. But, oh, sinner, has thy soul seen such a great light, an eternal light, as that which dwelleth in the blessed person of the Saviour, the dear Redeemer? Arise and shine, O Zion, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. blessed be God, to give the light of the knowledge of the eternal glory of God in the blessed person and face of Emmanuel Jesus Christ. Behold my servant. Oh, look upon him, sinner. There's none like him, the blessed Saviour, the dear Redeemer. Behold my servant, the friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, what a report is this. No wonder the angels sang at the birth of Emmanuel, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We desire to come to the second thought, if the Lord may enable, concerning the blessed condescension of Emmanuel. Oh, you see, he, in his love of God, made known to us, he sent his only begotten Son into the world. And Jesus, having loved his own, oh, that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Oh, sinner, oh, there is such a one, you know, as a blessed Saviour, who loves his people. He, as I think we may have sang it this afternoon, or perhaps we are not sure, but he loves them all, and he grasps them, he holds them fast. He'll never let them go. Such is the love of Christ. It's an everlasting love because it's the love of God. It's the one and the same fountain of mercy. It's the one and the same stream. You see, oh, behold the love of God. That sovereign love, that infinite love, that eternal love, the immeasurable love, the love of Almighty God. Behold, the ocean fullness of it stretcheth from everlasting into everlasting. Behold how it flows to the earth through the blessed person of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Ah, you see, behold my servant whom I have chosen. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Well, we considered a little this morning concerning the sense of the word judgment. Ah, you see, the blessed Jesus. Oh, he bringeth the truth of God, the truth of the righteous God, into the earth. For judgment he has come into the earth, you see, that is to set righteousness in the earth. Oh, that's why the isles shall wait for his law, the law that cometh forth from his mouth, the law of truth. This is in his heart. And what judgment is this? And we won't tarry on these points because we briefly mentioned them this morning. Ah, the judgment unto victory. Blessed be God. Why? You see, as we're born, as we considered this morning, that, oh, you know, oh, the judgments of God are terrifying to sinners, you know. The judgments of God are terrifying to sinners, you know. But the blessed Saviour has wrought justice and judgment in the earth, brought in an everlasting righteousness for his people. Why? What do we read in Ezekiel? Behold, I am for you, saith the Lord, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Yes, for he that is mighty has done blessed things unto us. Why, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, he may become our everlasting righteousness. Oh, and he may set judgment in the earth for them. Yea, he shall judge for them. And in that great day of judgment, oh, when the eternal judgment, the eternal sentence shall be passed, what shall be the judgment of Christ for his people? Come, ye blessed of my Father. But we must just briefly, we cannot mention that without mentioning. You see, in that great day of assize, when all the secrets of men's hearts shall be fully revealed and made known before the eternal God, the great person of the glorious Redeemer, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, must stand all before his judgment seat. The secrets of every heart will be made manifest. That which was whispered in secret will then be made known openly before all the world and before the holy angels of God and before God who is judge himself. himself, he shall judge righteously. His eyes, which is a flame of fire, they shall divide asunder the soul and the spirit, you see. All that which is covered over deceitful shall be uncovered. Oh, it shall be discovered, it shall be made known, made manifest in that great and solemn day to which, you see, behold, we be God is judge himself. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of ourselves and of the deeds done in these human bodies, whether good or bad. And you see, we read of two judgments. We read of the judgment of the wicked, the goats, those who are strong in themselves and independent and need not God's mercy. We read of the judgment for the sheep, those who are dependent upon God's mercy and bleat after him day and night and desire to follow him and hear his voice. You see, the judgments were set, the books were opened, and blessed be God. Forever and ever another book was opened. Sinner, oh, thou dost need the Lord. Another book was opened. Blessed be God. Oh, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. His loosed the seals thereof, even the book of life. Ah, the book of the holy records of the Son of God, the servant of the Lord, for sinners' sakes. And all those names written there who are his. My sheep they are, and they hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life. You see, the two sentences that shall be passed, oh, they're most exceedingly solemn sentences and exceedingly blessed sentences. Oh, one is so, they're both good sentences. Oh, they're so exceedingly good and glorious. Oh, you see, the administration of condemnation is glorious, you know, because it's the administration of righteous condemnation. You see, what should it be? Why, it shall be that which God has done for the sins of his people. He has cast them behind his back, never to be seen again. But that also shall be the judgment of the transgressor in that day, shall be cast out of God's sight, never to be seen again. You see, we read of a bottomless pit. We read of a bottomless pit, outer darkness, banishment from the presence of God. We also read of burning, fiery torments. Oh, the awful torments of the wages of sin, which is eternal death. You see, in a bottomless pit, you can't rise, you see, you can only sink. And so when the holy Lord shall say, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, it's an eternal sentence. And the longer eternity endures, the further shall the sinner be banished from the presence of God. Because sin, oh, is, must be banished from the presence of the Lord. We see this blessed Saviour, this blessed Redeemer, who God hath ordained to be judge of both the living and the dead, by whom also he made the worlds, and by whom also he shall conclude the worlds. He has given all judgment into his hand. He shall come the second time. Oh, blessed are the eyes that see him now, their dear Redeemer, why, who has cast all their sins into the bottom of the sea, never to rise again. He's banished them forever. He's taken the sins of his people into the land of forgetfulness. He's removed the iniquity of that land in one day. He's banished sin forever from his people, never to be seen again. Why, he's buried them. He's delivered them from that awful condemnation. And he's wrought such glorious righteousness for them, the righteousness of God, not just the righteousness of man, though it is, blessed be God, the righteousness of the God-man. You see, it's also the righteousness of God. Such glorious robes these are. Oh, such the fullness of love that these shall be clothed in. The fullness of joy and of righteousness and of peace. And so, in that great day, While there shall be many that shall behold the Lord with awful terror. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, said the apostle. There shall be some who shall see their Saviour, and he shall judge for them, and he shall say, come unto me, ye blessed of my Father. Behold my servant. But you see, desire to come to those things spoken about this blessed Redeemer who shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. And they are exceedingly glorious things. They're wonderful things. This is the most wonderful report that the world has ever heard. Oh, you see, behold my servant. The eternal God manifest in the flesh. A real man. No wonder we read in Isaiah in the prophet, all those things against us they shall not stand, for behold God is with us. But you see, desire to come to something of the blessed person of Jesus Christ as he was manifest in the flesh. You see, in the person of Jesus Christ, we have the revelation of heaven to the earth. We have the revelation of heavenly things to the earth. All that he did was heavenly, as it was righteous. You see, love is of God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. And all that the blessed Jesus did, being the eternal Son of God who came from glory and returned thither to glory, all that he did were godly, lovely, heavenly things, righteousness. All that the blessed Jesus did came from heaven. It was God's counsel from everlasting. It was God's thoughts flowing to the earth. And what are these thoughts? I say they're the thoughts of love and of peace and not of evil, to give his people an expected end. You see, we have such a revelation in the holy word, written word of God, the word of the Holy Ghost. For behold, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, we read in Ezekiel concerning the awful, solemn nature of sin in Ezekiel 18. Where the Lord says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And what catalogue do we read there concerning what sin is? Why, it's the very opposite of love. Oh, I'm not talking about that wicked thing called lust. I'm talking about that holy thing called love that comes from God. Even natural love cometh from the Lord. It's his gift to the earth. But the fullness of love is in God himself. The desire of good, the flowing forth of good, of grace towards another. These are the heavenly things revealed to us in the blessed person of Jesus Christ. as he was God's servant for such poor, vile, wicked, undeserving sinners like ourselves. And you see, what do we read concerning how lovely a life did he live? Why this blessed Saviour, we might say, why he said, blessed are the meek, for who was as meek as he was? Oh, that gentle, holy softness of his soul, of his thoughts, of his mind, ever dealing gently yet righteously with his people, that humble godliness, that blessed piety, Jesus Christ, fulfilling the law of God in all its gloriousness, in all its righteousness, in every jot and every blessed tittle, in all its love, that which God is, that comes from the Lord, that law of kindness which is in his heart and in his mouth, against which sin is so diabolically opposed, against such glorious, lovely righteousness sin is a wicked enemy. But behold the blessings of the Lamb of God. He shall not cry nor strive. Oh, there shall be no envious, wicked, hateful thought or word in his lovely, holy heart, as he loves God and his neighbour as himself, with the love of God, not the love of man. The love of the God-man, not the love of man only, I should say, the love of the God-man. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Why, that he might fulfil all righteousness for his people, he might redeem them forever and ever. He might be able to say, when he was lifted up at Calvary, it is finished. I've done all that I came to do, all that God gave me to do for the redemption of my people. I've served the Lord for them fully, as only God can do. Blessed be God. As a real man, he served them under the law, but he served them only as God could serve them, in the fullness of love and of grace and of mercy and of truth and of righteousness and judgment. And then we come to exceedingly precious words for poor needy sinners who are like broken reeds and smoking flaxes. Oh, this is the true nature of the precious gospel of the grace and of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, the glorious God. This is the true nature of it now, sinner. Oh, wilt thou hearken unto these blessed things? Oh, you see, our hearts by nature are so hard, are they not? Oh, mine is terrible. But a bruised reed, oh, sinner, here is thy hope. Oh, you see, a bruised reed he will not break. Oh, he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Oh, he said, concerning a lost sheep, why, when he found him, he brought him home on his shoulders rejoicing. This is a love of God. This is the love of our descending Saviour. Why rejoice with me and be glad, for this my son which was dead is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And what do we read in Ezekiel concerning these blessed things? Find Ezekiel 34 concerning those sheep that were scattered and lost and bruised and torn and diseased. What do we read? Oh, sinner, dost thou know the disease of sin? Or dost thou know the lacerations and the thorns, the prickings of a guilty conscience? Dost thou know the lashings of... Oh, dost thou know... Oh, the struggles against the love of this world and all its awfulness and heinousness and wickedness. Dost thou know these things? Why, the sheep of Christ do, but listen to what he will do for them, the blessed servant of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among his sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Furthermore, sinner, what will he do for these sheep? Why, wonderful things. I will seek that which was lost. Oh, here's new good news from a far country. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good things, that saith unto Zion, behold, thy God, thy Saviour, thy Redeemer reigneth. I will seek that which was lost. Oh, lost sinners, those who know what awful condition it is to know guilt upon the conscience. Terrible. But the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, this precious blood that can remove all sin, can wash all guilt away, for the debt has been paid by the blessed servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a precious gospel and news from even from a far country, even a land that is very far off, even heaven itself. From the throne of God and of the Lamb do these tidings come and flow, and they reach the heart of man's soul. Oh, like a blessed trumpet that shall be blown, and they that were ready to perish, and they that were outcasts, oh, they shall come. With weeping and with supplications they shall come. He shall lead them by the rivers of waters in a straight way, when they shall never stumble or never fall. For the Lord their God will be with them. He will uphold them. And what will he do for them? He will bring again that which was driven away. Oh, in that day we read this morning, will I make in my mountain a feast of fat things for poor needy sinners, those who are deathly by nature, because for them he has swallowed up death in victory. Oh, I'll seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken. Ah, broken-hearted sinners, there they that love the precious Saviour. They love the precious gospel. Oh, it's such music to their ears, as one said in verse, the precious name of Jesus. Oh, their beloved Saviour and good shepherd, that sought them, as one said in verse, wandering as a stranger far from the fold of God. He to save, can we say it, sinner, my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Ah, you see, may we ever be kept from standing on presumption's ground. Ah, but may we be given all that increase of faith may lay hold upon eternal life. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Ah, precious things. But you see, the word of God does not stop there, sinner. And here's a solemn but, who's a true one, because the Lord has stained his garments with the blood of his enemies. The year of his redeemed has come, when he wrought vengeance upon the devil and destroyed him that had the power of death. And we read in Isaiah at the close, and the sinners and the transgressors, those that shall be found in their sins at his coming, shall be destroyed. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment, that solemn judgment, for which their sins rightly and justly call for and deserve. But you see, oh indeed, Ah, but for his people, his sheep, which are lost, which are broken hearted, oh, which hear his voice and call upon his name, he has done wonderful things. Behold, you see, if the administration of condemnation be glory, be good and just and true and righteous, much more shall the ministration of the Spirit be glorious, the ministration of righteousness wrought out, the righteousness that Jesus wrought out, that lovely robe for his people, be glorious. Why? Because he fulfilled the law for them in every jot and tittle, as we mentioned earlier. But behold the manner of its fulfilment. Why, every poor sinner that came to him when he was here on earth, he sent them not empty away. He fulfilled, he heard their cry. They called upon his name, and he heard their cry, and he delivered them from all of their transgressions and from all of their fears. This poor man cried, indeed, even like Jairus, perhaps, with his daughter who was sick, or the poor leper in all his wicked, sinful leprosy, as leprosy was a type of sin under the ceremonial law, said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, because in thee is such blessed righteousness, fullness, and such an atonement. Oh, such, we see, indeed, ah, this blessed servant of the Lord. Why? Ah, without him, we can do nothing, for he has fulfilled all righteousness. And so these sinners come, indeed, and behold the blessed Lord, he does wondrous things for them. Never man spake like this man, as he spoke to the woman that came, who was bound up, could by no means lift up herself. What did he say? Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Blessed Saviour, blessed Jesus. Oh, let me hear thy voice. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak the word only, Lord, and my servant shall be healed. What did he say? I will come and heal him. Ah, this is the blessed servant of the Lord. As Peter said, he went about doing good. Oh, such goodness, sinner. Goodness to sinners. Why? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, like that poor woman, you see, whose daughter had a devil. Lord, help me. Why, call upon me in a day of trouble and I will deliver thee, said the Lord. And this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his distresses, from all his fears, saved him from them. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto Jesus, God's servant for them, who went about doing good, healing the sick. Oh, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead. Oh, setting at liberty them that are bound, healing the brokenhearted. Blessed be God. And a bruised reed shall he not break, nor the smoking flax shall he quench. Oh, these tried and tempted sinners who need the Lord to do everything for them. Ah, he will not break them. No, why? He beholds men that are of low estate. Because what did Hannah and Mary say? Behold, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. It was for their sakes he served God, that they might inherit the throne of glory. And oh, what did this precious Saviour say to his troubled disciples, who were so troubled, so tempted, oh, so fearful. Oh, their faith was like smoking flaxes, now that the Lord said he'll be going from them. What can they do? Why, let not your heart be troubled. Ye broken-hearted sinners, oh, ye bruised reeds, ye smoking flaxes, ye believe in God. Ye believe that God is good, gracious, wise, just and true. Believe also in me. Behold. before I close, I must just turn to a parable that the Lord spake. And I believe this really sets forth the glories of his redeeming grace to poor and needy sinners. He said when he is here on earth, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. And you know, the Lord said that those that were clothed in purple live in king's houses, do they not? And fine linen, and fared sumptuously. Why, had all that his heart could wish for. Every day. But, sinner, hear the precious gospel. And there was a certain beggar, known unto God from all eternity. A certain beggar, one who dwells in the dunghill of his own corruptions, begging for the mercy of the living God. Like the publican, that transgressor, who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Certain beggar named Nazareth, see, the Lord knows his people by their name. He calls them by their name. Which was laid at his gate, the rich man's gate, full of sores. Oh, how deep are the wounds which sin has made. Oh, you see, this is a parable. It's not referring to temporal poverty, earthly bodily poverty. It's spoken against the Pharisees, you see. It's referring to spiritual poverty. The Lord said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But behold, this wonderful, matchless scene of sovereign grace, how the kingdom of heaven becomes theirs. And desiring, that's a beggar, to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Oh, you see, the world will only deal hardly with you, sinner. Oh, you'll be like that prodigal son when you come into want. When your soul needs truth, the world can't feed you. Oh, it feeds itself, it won't feed your soul, sinner. Moreover, the dogs came. The most lowest things came and licked his sores. But you see, and it came to pass. Now hearken, that the beggar died, and when he died, he inherited the throne of glory, and was carried by the angels because of Jesus, his beloved Saviour and great High Priest, who went into heaven to prepare a place for him, who was coming again to receive that beggar to himself. Whoever liveth at the right hand of God, to make intercession for all such that come unto God by him. Oh, he desired to be fed from the rich man's table. That means he was a needy beggar. But God gave him crumbs from the master's table, you know. Such as to sustain him till that blessed time when he died. To be taken into the Abraham's bosom, into the very presence of the Lord. But you see the great difference, oh indeed, between the righteous and the wicked. And it came to pass that the rich man died and was buried in the depths of the earth, never to rise again, that is, in his soul. But hearken, this is what I want to come to more particularly. Hearken to the cry of the rich man in hell. What was it? I tell you what it was, sinner. It was the cry of every bruised reed and smoking flax that the Lord will be gracious to and have mercy upon. But the great difference is, they cried in this life, and Jesus came in this life to save them from their sins. You see, what was the cry of the rich man in the second death? Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Ah, you see, the great difference, you see, the bruised reeds and the smoking flaxes, they cry for mercy here. Now we must just close, but you see, and there is a merciful and faithful high priest for them, even Jesus, who has brought forth judgment unto victory for them, and they begin to trust in him while here below, why they ply their case at the throne of grace, where Jesus sits, ever making intercession for them. And so we read, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, in whom my soul delighteth, why he ever liveth to make intercession for all those that come unto God by him. He is able therefore to save them to the uttermost, for such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, the eternal Son of God, who needeth not daily to offer up sacrifice for sins, for this he did when he offered up himself without spot to God. How much more shall the precious blood of Christ, your great and eternal high priest, purge your conscience from dead works, to eternally serve and praise the living God? I say, what saith the word of God? This blessed servant of the Lord, who is now upon the throne of grace, ever liveth to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, what saith the word of God? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen.